This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are going to dive into a big email roundup tonight. Basically, I have to clean out a lot of this backlog because tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we can't have a backlog, so let's go. Jesse, I always found it funny when you use the names Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to make fun of the left. I work with a guy named Aiden, and to this day, he wears 2 N95 masks to work every day. Remember the 2 masks? It only lasted a couple weeks, but when they were really pressing the panic button, and they started telling everybody, wear 2 masks. 2 are better than 1. Why don't we have 2 masks on? Oh, gosh, that was the best. All right, anyway, he continues. I've never seen him take them off. I've seen him walk into a stall with his 2 masks, and of course he has to wear them outside. You can never be too safe. So I can, in fact, confirm that you nailed it with these names. He says, feel free to use my name on the air. His name is Josh. Look, I only do that. The Aiden, Jaden, and Braden thing, I only do it as a joke because if you've been to any youth sporting events in white suburbia, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This has become something where suburban white women, all of them, they all name their kid Aiden, Braden, or Jaden, and I find it to be hysterical. And you know this because when you go to these youth sporting events, this is what you'll hear all the time. Go, Aiden. Get him, Jaden. Go, Braden. It's endlessly, and it always makes me laugh. And then the wife gets mad at me when I'm laughing as if everyone knows what I'm laughing about, but I can't help it. Jesse, completely agree with you. The Republicans need a strong primary contest. I'm worried about Trump's endorsement and his personnel decisions because it's an indication that drain the swamp is just words. I have yet to hear any plan for firing at least half of the swamp rats. Okay, look, let's have another talk about this because it's important. Trump, Heavy D, let's have a talk about the primary because I'm going to say to you again what I've been saying over and over and over and over again. People ask me, what do you want for a primary? What do you want for the 2024 candidate? I don't have a horse in the race yet. I want a primary. I want a crowded primary. I want what virtually nobody else wants. If you're a huge Trump person, you hate that. No, just give it to Trump. If you're a Ron DeSantis person, you hate that. No, Trump needs to sit it out. Or Cruz or anyone else. People hate the thought of competition. Everyone does. I do too, right? I do too. We don't love I have to compete for this? Makes you have to work harder, right? Makes life more uncomfortable. What do you mean I have to compete? However, it's the best thing for us. Do you remember Donald Trump? I think it was only a couple months ago. I like Trump, so I don't spend a lot of time ripping on him. But he went on this tour and he was just selling the vaccine everywhere. Well, I love the vaccine. We should take credit for it. Everyone should get vaccinated. And he just got blasted from the right. I blasted him. Everyone blasted him. When's the last time you heard Trump say anything about that? He hasn't. Instead, this is what Trump sounds like now.
One of the first things that we will do with our new Republican majorities is to end every last COVID mandate. They're still around. It's hard to believe. And we will pass a bill making it illegal for any employer to interfere in personal health decisions or to fire employees for not having the vaccine.
That's freaking outstanding. Back on message, back on point. Why? Because he felt heat. Heat is not bad. Heat is good. Constructive criticism is good. I want him in a primary, not because I hate him, because I like him. I want him having to stand on the debate stage with Heavy D and compete. I want Heavy D to stand on a debate stage with him and compete. Go fight.
So just let me say it very clearly to all Floridians. You just saw Philadelphia impose an indoor mandate. You're going to have potentially some of these other deep blue jurisdictions go back to restrictions and mandate. You look what's happening in Shanghai. They have everybody under a brutal lockdown. So I just want to be very clear, as long as I sit in the chair in which I sit, no Floridian will be restricted, mandated, or locked down in any possible way.
That's good, right? It's good. You like that. You're probably cheering right now. Woohoo! I like it too. I want them to have to out-conservative each other. I want them to have to out-fundraise each other. Why? Because in the end, isn't the country the most important thing? Isn't that what you love most? Isn't that what I love? The country's the most important thing. Just like we were talking about with all the Elon Musk stuff. No man worship. The country is what matters. If they are forced to go out there and compete with each other, it makes all of them better. And it guarantees whoever emerges from that primary, which it will probably be Trump anyway, but we will get a better Trump at the back end. A better Trump. A Trump who won't do things like endorse Dr. Oz because he'll have to answer for on the debate stage endorsing people like this.
Now imagine your child is transgender. What would you do? Our lives as parents are first defined by the words, it's a girl or it's a boy. Could you make a decision to let your child live as the other sex, even alter their body? It's an area of intense debate. Today, you'll meet families coping with this astonishing reality.
There's no easy answer. With science and psychology only starting to explore this complex subject, what's the right way to nurture a transgender child?
Let's meet a family.
Okay, a mistake. Whatever. We're not going to dwell on it. But how do you clean up those mistakes? Have you ever seen the people who surround celebrities? Have you ever been around somebody's entourage before? I have. Actually, specifically, I've been around somebody's entourage in this business. He flew to, it doesn't matter where it was. He flew to an event where I was, and I think it was 7 people flew with him. I believe it was 7 people, various assistants and whatnot. Do you have any idea how difficult it is for somebody like that, whether you want an entourage or not, you have any idea how difficult it is for somebody like that to hear criticism, constructive criticism, and for them to improve? They never improve because no one in the entourage wants to be the guy who's no longer welcome in the entourage. And so you get surrounded by people who only say nice things. I want them all to compete. And this applies across the board, by the way. It's not just Heavy D and Trump. I want Cruz in. I want Pence in. I want what's Pompeo in. I want Haley in. And I don't even like most of those guys. I want Tim Scott in. And I can't stand Tim Scott. I want them all in. Get him in there. And in case you're wondering, I get this email. Why don't you like Tim Scott? I don't like Tim Scott because when America was burning and this false narrative that America's full of racist cops was being pushed out there, instead of pushing against it, Tim Scott ran to the microphone and said, we need federal police reform. So, all right. Yesterday, we were taking calls. I'm not taking them again tonight. But we just thought it would be funny. It was a good day to do it. Where we were taking calls and... the worst thing you've said to the opposite sex. The worst you've ever put your foot in your mouth to the opposite sex. In case you missed it, it's a fun show to download. The whole thing's on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Go download it. You will enjoy it. But some guy wrote in and told me this. Or no, it was a gal. I'm sorry. I'm a doctor and a fitness professional, she says. So I saw this older gentleman in the gym I have missed for some time. He was entering the gym... and as he was exiting, I said, hey, how you doing? You look nice and lean. Good job. And he told me he just overcame esophageal cancer. Oh, man, that's so bad. It was a whole show of that last night, and it was hilarious. Now, let's just take one more moment and drown ourselves in the liberal tears of today.
There are real and devastating consequences for using that platform to lie. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've seen it happen. I wonder, you know, when talking about this, it's, you know, it's kind of funny. Oh, Elon wants to buy it. But there are massive life and globe altering consequences for just letting people run wild on the thing.
Yes, 100%. But that's Facebook is really the where the real action is in that. So that's this is a very small company. People, it has an outsized influence because media people like it, politicians, world leaders, and Elon Musk.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's just drink it in. All right. Remember, we still have Tiana Lowe coming up about 15 minutes from now. We do have to break away from emails and Elon Musk Twitter talk and talk about something that probably more important. We have to talk about the Fed. And since producers Michael and Chris suggested Tiana Lowe yesterday, as well as some others, we thought maybe it would be a good idea to get her on the show. So we'll do that here in just a moment. And there's a project for you this weekend. Switch to Pure Talk. I mean, you could knock it out now. Then you don't have to bother calling on Good Friday. You know, Pure Talk, they'll save you a ton of money and they don't hate you. The average family saves over $800 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. If you still have Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile or any one of the big ones, please, you don't have to take my word for it. Go look at their advertising campaigns. Look at what they do with that money you send them every single month. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. Their customer service, this is how much they love America. Their customer service, based in America. They're right here in America. Give them a call from your cell phone. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, and that'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can ask me anything. The whole show is your questions. You can email them to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. People are asking me, how do you think the Elon Musk thing is going to turn out in the end? Oh, I don't think he's going to own Twitter. I mean, look, Chris, go ahead and record it. Write it down. No, I don't think he's going to own Twitter. Yeah, look, like I said, if you missed it at the beginning of the show, I talked about the history of corrupt regimes. It's not just an American thing. Throughout history, corrupt regimes, once they get totally corrupted and rotted, they're on the final years, the final decades of existence. But until they're finally snuffed out and reformed or removed, they take a lot of people out who are trying to reform them. If you think they're going to look at one billionaire and just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, he has the money, you really don't understand just how corrupt this system is. These people, look, every communist regime in the history of mankind has dedicated itself to controlling all information at absurd levels. I mean, one of the most famous examples, you've probably seen this somewhere, where Stalin, there was a picture of Stalin floating around with a guy. They were on a boat together, clearly friendly or friends, and they were pictured together. And then that guy ended up dying. He died. We'll just leave it that way. He died. Stalin, this is old times, right? This is before the internet. Stalin had them erase him from the picture. Communists censor information. Because if you're going to push that sick, disgusting religion on people that spreads only misery and death, you have to lie about it. If I knocked on your door tonight and said, hey, I have this stuff. You see this? It looks like candy. I want you to give it to your kids. Only it'll kill them. It's poison. Would you let me? Of course not. But if I do that same door knock and I say, hey, are you worried about your kids' health? There's a lot of diseases out there. Hey, Corona's still going around. I have these little candies. And hey, your kid takes it. He's going to be perfectly healthy. Maybe you'll take it. Maybe you won't. But my chances are a whole lot better. The communist cannot have his motivations exposed. He cannot have who he is exposed. That's why they're so freaking out today about the prospect of even one social media giant being taken away from them. So I don't think he'll succeed. I don't. But hopefully I'm wrong. Dear former Oracle, I have gained respect for you for the way you educate your listeners about the evils of communism in an entertaining way since I discovered your podcast about 6 months ago. But when I heard you say the other day that you prefer raisins over chocolate chips and your oatmeal cookies, I almost puked. You sound like one of those tree-hugging hippie granola freak commies you claim to hate. You disgust me. My question for you is, how do you live with yourself and put those disgusting shriveled pieces of rotten fruit in your mouth? And he says I could say his name. His name is Carrie. Listen. Everyone loves raisins. Quit freaking lying. Everyone loves raisins. It's a grape that's gotten old, right? It's a grape. Oatmeal raisin cookies are so underrated. Everybody picks chocolate chip cookies. Cinnamon and raisin and the oatmeal and the combo. Man, you know what? I can feel it. You know what I can feel right now, Chris? A party in my mouth, all right? You know what it makes me feel like? Makes me feel like the vice president. Stop, Chris. We can make jokes. It's fine. Jesse, I like a copy of the part in your show on the April 4th. You start a thesis talking about the media bombardment of kids and youth from an early age about guns, killing, and gangs, so on and so forth. Well, look, in case you missed it, what we talked about was how much things that go into your eyes and ears, how much they affect you and affect me. And I talk about this a lot. And look, I fail at this all the time. I forget about this. We went off last night about the New York subway shooter, Frank James. And we were talking about, okay, so he's a nut job. This has become something that's happening a lot now. That's 4 black nationalist murders or attempted murders within just the last year. This is not just a New York problem. It's an America problem. Why? Well, every single part of our culture currently, from media to education to Hollywood to otherwise, tells black people they're oppressed in America, have always been oppressed, are oppressed. And after I did that show last night, and basically what I said was I went on to say, if you continue to say that enough and enough people hear it, eventually that message is going to sink into the mind of some nut job who wants to go kill people because of it. And I had a bunch of black people reach out to me after the show, including one of my best boys. And he said, hey, it's so right in what it does. Now, I didn't really think about it this way. He said it creates an inferiority complex, which I didn't quite understand. So I picked his brain about that. I'm like, what do you mean an inferiority complex? He's like, you got to understand, not only does it create a level of anger when all you see is civil rights, Jim Crow, slavery, not only does it create that level of anger, it creates something in you that you feel like you can't make it because everyone's telling you you can't make it. How many times have you seen the most successful, powerful people in our society, from the Obamas to Oprah to LeBron, but some of the most powerful, successful people in our society genuinely sound like they think they're victims when they talk about something? And he said, look, that comes with the inferiority complex of everything you consume telling you you can't do it, you can't make it, America's evil, America's racist, you don't have a chance. That's what it comes from. All right. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything, but get your questions in now, right now. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. You can also download the show on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and leave a review talking about how handsome I am. We have Tiana Lowe joining us next. She's one of these brainy economic types, because I know we're all lost in the Elon Musk Twitter mode. We're all lost in the subway shooter mode. But what's happening right now with the Fed and the economy is actually a lot more important than all of those things. So let's get the who's who and what's what from Tiana.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Daggone, Tiana Lowe just went up about 10 notches in my book. You come on this show and request Hall & Oates, you're just all right by me. So by request, Tiana Lowe of course, the Washington Examiner in the First TV joins me now. Tiana, okay, the big news today is obviously the Elon Musk thing, so we might as well hit that first before we get to our nerd out Fed stuff. Elon Musk, okay, he might buy Twitter, he might not buy Twitter. I'm sure they'll probably end up blocking him, yada, yada, yada. What I've simply said today is, hey, don't put your trust in billionaires. There's way too much man worship. It's good. We can celebrate. We can clap. We can high five. But don't think Elon Musk is coming to save you.
Okay, so no, but I'm also one of these conservatives who has never bought into the idea of we need to break up big tech. Not because I don't think that big tech is corrupt, immoral, wanting to train your children to be little Marxists with like the rainbow flag all over their heads, but rather because throughout most of, you know, modernity, going back to, you know, the Medici era, the greatest protection for political factionalism, art, free expression has just been the wars of billionaires. You know, liberals already own the Washington Post. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. Lorraine Powell Jobs owns the Atlantic. You know, it's just a series of billionaires who already own all of these other publications. Elon Musk, the only difference is that he is, you know, in a tribal instinct, it's easy for conservatives to say that he's our guy. I don't even think that's strictly true if you think about it ideologically, but it's more just Elon Musk. He has not bought into that, the idea that, you know, disinformation is the enemy of democracy. And he doesn't, this isn't even a free speech issue, just an open discourse one. I think Elon Musk has made pretty clear that he's, you know, red-pilled to some degree and isn't interested in creating a speech standard where, you know, the leaders of Iran and China are allowed to engage in genocide denial. But not just even Trump, but you can kick off regular Americans for sowing quote-unquote disinformation. So, I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath on any of this. We always have to remember in all conversations about social media, 8% of adults in America are active on Twitter. That's nothing. We are just very engaged in it because we're in the commentariat. Yes, Jesse, you too. Even in Red America, you're still part of the elite on Twitter. But still, it is sort of nice to know that we have at least one billionaire on our team. Well, on our side, if you want to think of it in that way.
Well, Tiana, I've known I've always been elite. I mean, I've felt that way about myself since I was a young child, but that's neither here nor there. Now let's talk about the Fed. We are facing real trouble, obviously. That's not exactly news to you or anyone else. Inflation's really bad. They are already raising rates. They've indicated they're going to raise them at least 6 more times this year to try to avoid a recession or avoid major inflation. But that in and of itself could cause a recession. Tiana, you're the expert. I'm not. Explain what's going on.
So what's going on is what, you know, no, I'm not even just going to use Larry Summers. Larry Summers was, he was the Clinton and Obama liberal economist. He was touted as a potential person for Biden to nominate to run the Fed, but the left really shut that one down quickly. He was warning that Biden's $2 trillion March 2021 stimulus package would lead to runaway inflation. And yes, Summers absolutely deserves credit for pointing that out when it was considered anathema on the left to do so, you know? But some of us were pointing out for years, and by some of us, I mean literally you and me, were pointing out for years that we had fundamentals in the economy that were obviously going to lead to runaway inflation. So yes, I mean, you know, Trump, the initial round of spending that Trump did wasn't the cause because there was depressed GDP output because we, you know, decided to stop the economy, which I know you were better about than I was in terms of calling that out at the beginning. But the real issue was the Fed. The fact is the Fed responded to the Great Recession by bringing interest rates to near zero and keeping them basically there for a decade during growth. And that is not even, you know, John Maynard Keynes, who was sort of the architect of contemporary liberal monetary theory, even he advocated to spend against the wind. So the idea was you try and save and not run up deficits during times of growth. So that way then you can slash interest rates. So then you can pass big spending packages when you come to recessions, when you come to natural disasters, when you come to pandemics, whatever. But that's not how any of our presidents governed in the last few decades. You know, I mean, we could go really far back into basically Nixon ending Bretton Woods and getting us off the gold standard, allowing us to hit the runaway inflation of the early 80s. But we finally, you know, we're in a position in the 80s because of Paul Volcker, because of Ronald Reagan, where we had a lot of natural growth. But instead, all the politicians who came after, they realized the Fed could just kind of bail them out. The Fed technically has a dual mandate, which is keeping inflation constant, their benchmark FSA around 2% annually, and also full employment. The problem is full employment, like, and I don't want to sound conspiratorial here, but liberal economists basically distorted and congealed and bastardized what full employment really meant for years. And so you have this situation where, you know, right before COVID, at the best of the Trump administration, we had some of the best, you know, job growth in recent history, and the Fed still kept rates near zero. So when we actually hit a recession, the only thing they could do was quantitative easing, you know, trillions in quantitative easing, basically doubling quantitative easing. And so, you know, when people talk about, oh, inflation is over, the problem is we haven't solved the underlying problem, which is we have too much money in the economy. This is what tanked the Spanish Empire. The conquistadors came across too much silver and it devalued their entire currency. This is what happened in the Weimar Republic. You cannot change the basic rules of economics. Okay. 1 plus 1 will always equal 2.
Again, we're speaking with Tiana Lowe, Washington Examiner, and of course, the First TV. Okay, Tiana, that sounds awful, and I'm going to ask a stupid question, but I'm stupid, so I get to do that. How do we suck some of the money back out? Is that even something that's humanly possible to do? There's way too much in. How do we get it out?
So there are basically two mechanisms that the government can do explicitly, and that's fiscal tightening and monetary tightening. Fiscal tightening is what we don't want because that's just the government raising taxes. We do not want that, and we cannot afford that. And that's one of the really dangerous things with inflation specifically. And it's why, when given the choice between a recession and an inflationary cycle, I would always choose the recession as long as it isn't preceded by inflation, if only because you can raise taxes in a recession if need be among a specific demographic. Inflation hits the people, hits the poorest the most, right?
Yeah.
So there's taxation from the congressional element, and then the Fed can raise interest rates. And that's what they've started to do, but far too slowly. When you go through the minutes that were released from their last meeting, it was the Dubs won out again because they cited Ukraine. Don't you love that everything is blamed on Ukraine and Putin now? It's like, oh, God forbid we save our own economy because the Ukrainians, not that we're actually doing anything for Ukraine, but, you know, we can just say that and we just feel good about ourselves. The issue is that real interest rates are still negative. And that is a reason why, I mean, Jesse, like, when's the last time you tried to open up a savings account? There are no savings accounts that actually help you make real dollars. Right now, they top out. I think it's Amex Savings and Barclays. Those are the best on the market, tap out at like 0.5 percentage point annually savings interest rate. So people are just stuck in the stock market, which is also artificially inflated thanks to, wait for it, the Fed. So, I mean, you definitely do not remember the Volcker era, but in the late 70s, early 80s, Volcker had to start two separate recessions and jack up interest rates into the double digits in order to stop inflation. And the problem that people don't even realize is interest rates were at like 10% when inflation was last this high. We are currently, our real interest rate right now is negative. So how much worse is the recession going to be? I mean, I think it's going to be devastating. I think it's going to make 08, the Great Recession, you know, look like a blip on the radar. I know I'm a huge pessimist with these things, but I fail to see how this gets better without there being a very, very hard, devastating landing, and also one that further debases the U.S. dollar status as the world's reserve currency.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Tiana Lowe, keep doing what you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Look, I'm with her. I think it gets bad. I just don't see how it. I know that's a terrible way. There's like 10 negatives in the sentence I'm about to say, but I don't see how it can't get bad. And I don't see how that's humanly possible. All right. We still have to talk about Disney doubling down, tripling down. We have email roundup stuff. We have much more to go on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to that, what are you sleeping on tonight? More specifically, you know what? That's too broad. Where'd you get your sheets? You like your sheets? What if I could promise you you could have better sheets, you could have them 60% off, and you would be buying those sheets from a company that actually cares about your values and fights for those values? MyPillow doesn't sit out the culture war. MyPillow wades into the culture war on your behalf, on my behalf. And they have the best freaking sheets ever. Gosh, the Giza Dream Sheets, I'm telling you, they are the most glorious things ever. To this day, my wife and I slip into them, and we've had them for, I mean, gosh, forever. We slip into them and go, oh my gosh, these are amazing. And they're 60% off right now. That's the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and use the code Jesse, and you get them 60% off. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. The autumn moonlight's my way. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we have to talk about snakes. Look, we're going to get to the Disney heiress. Is it Harris or heiress? The H is silent. It's heiress. The H is silent, Chris. But don't act like I'm an idiot. Why'd they put the H in there? Just, I'm sorry for pointing out the flaws in English. Whatever. We'll get to that in a minute. Got to get back to your emails. It's time to pull up a chair. Let's have a talk. Pets. Now, I'm not anti-pet. No, don't, Chris. Don't. No, I'm not even a little bit anti-pet. That's a lie. I'm not anti-pet. I'm not really a big pet guy, but I'm not anti-pet. We have a dog. I can't be painted as anti-pet. We have a dog, and that, look, the kids named him Fred, and right where I know, I didn't name him. And when I get home, that big meathead comes charging at me like I've been gone for 10 years. And I lean down and I pet the dog and snuggle with him a little bit. You have to. He throws himself on you. So I'm not anti-pet. Snakes, though. The headline is about a Maryland guy who had 124 snakes in his home. He was found dead with a snake bite. I know that's shocking. He had snakes, including rattlesnakes, cobras, black mambas, and a 14-foot-long Burmese python. Now, maybe you're a snake guy and you're offended right now. It's important for you to remember. I don't care. But let me clarify. If you have one snake, and you have that snake because, like a dude, you enjoy feeding that snake small rodents and you like watching nature, that's fine. That's fine. But if you have, let's say, multiple snakes, and let's say you enjoy taking the snakes out and letting them crawl all over you, and I'm not even a snake phobia guy. I'm not scared of snakes. I'm not big on spiders. I'm not scared of snakes. But you might want to see somebody. It's time to get yourself some professional help. If you find yourself with 124 snakes, it's time to go sit down with someone and find out whether mommy didn't love you enough or something. All right. Jesse, Musk is apparently attempting a hostile takeover. Either the Twitter board agrees to sell or Musk could crash the share price by dumping his 10%. No problem. Twitter will recruit some commie billionaires and woke investment firms to buy up the dumped shares. All right. Listen. And the guy goes on to talk about other social media platforms, but listen. The most important lesson we can take from today. It's not about Twitter and it's not about Elon. It's not about any of those things. The most important thing we can take from today is we can watch the opposition to him, and we can learn lessons, because the things I'm already hearing about what they're doing to oppose Elon Musk are jaw-dropping. Again, it's not about him. We're not going to pom-pom wave for anybody. We can cheer for it. We're not going to pom-pom wave. But listen, I'm hearing rumors, and this is from official reporters. I mean, right now it's just in the anonymous source rumor phase. I'm hearing rumors the Justice Department is looking at Elon Musk. I'm hearing rumors, and this is actually beyond the rumor phase, that these gigantic firms like Vanguard and BlackRock, these really, really ugly firms, are buying up Twitter shares, a lot of them today. It seems like the system itself, what I call the system, you know, our completely corrupt, rotted thing, I call it the system. It seems like the system is once again locking shields in defense of itself. The system is not only unwilling to reform itself, the system will lash out violently against anyone who attempts to reform the system itself. Can I get dark for a minute? Chris, can I get dark for a minute? It's fine. Look, you know what? Here, let's do this to make us feel better first.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean. If you have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course.
conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
Listen, thank you. See, don't you feel better? Good, because we're about to get dark here. I didn't even want to say this, but I was having a private conversation with a friend, and I feel like my private conversations about the state of the country and everything, I feel like I need to make them public sometimes. I feel this way about America, that the system itself, and I don't just mean the government or politicians. I'm talking the three-letter agencies, all of them, CIA, NSA, DOJ, all of them. I feel like they're rotted to a point of no return. I feel like the media itself is rotted to a point of no return. Our major corporations, big financial institutions, who are, of course, all these groups are in bed with each other. They're rotted to a point of no return. Media, Hollywood, education system. Now, I'm not saying this to be hopeless because we have so much hope locally. We're fine. We have numbers. But federally, as far as the country goes, the system that runs the country is rotted past the point of no return. What does that mean? What's that have to do with Elon Musk? I'll share you a dark one here in just a second.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.